What you just expressed is you accept when it happens. So you change how it works.
Yes.
You're accepting it. That's exactly what you're doing. You know, acceptance opens up doors, doesn't close them.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Trading Endgame, our ongoing mini-series with Sound Performance Psychology's Sean Sawyer that's leveling up our emotional maturity. So far, we've ticked off fear, greed, and shame from our to-do list. The link's in the show notes if you need to catch up. But tonight, we will be shining the spotlight on anger. And I've got some good questions that have been sent in ahead of this recording. Of course, we'll be sure to answer everything thrown at us by our dedicated psych nerds in the live audience. Speaking of which, probably double their pay for working on a holiday, huh?
Yes, we probably should. That's a good call.
Before we do get started, quick reminder to everybody that they can get added to the payroll and listen into these recordings live in Sean's private but free Discord. And I have seen those payouts. There's a lot of zeros within them. And if you are enjoying today's conversation, but you're angry at all the false advertising, then you need to visit soundperformancepsychology.com so you can book a free consultation. Tell Sean all about it. All right. So typically, I think we've been starting these off with kind of a background of like what the emotion is that we're diving into, kind of some of the benefits of it, maybe some history. I don't know where you want to start us off with anger, but I'll go ahead and just cede the floor to you.
Anger is good. That's what I want to start with.
You've been saying that about all the emotions. It seems to be a running theme here, huh?
There you go. I'm on a campaign to change people's relationships with emotions because we've been led astray.
Yeah.
Especially anger. I mean, you know, anger motivates.
Interesting.
You know, that's its primary function.
Okay. I was actually trying to do the thought experiment to think of anticipation of this, like what the actual benefit of anger was going to be. And that was actually what I came up with, that it tends to make me take action when I get angry enough.
That is what it's for.
Interesting. I don't usually get those right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's to motivate behavior. And in psychology, people tend to think of like anger management, anger issues. And, you know, anger is a gift. It's what makes us say no. It's what helps us, you know, set limits. It's what helps you set your limits in trading, whether it's a stop limit or it's a personal boundary. It helps with that. And, that's, you know, why it's important. Obviously, it can become out of control, but that is when behavior starts to get mixed in, and anger is not a behavior. Anger is not a behavior.
Okay.
It's an emotion.
Okay. But anger maybe leads to some destructive behaviors if it's not managed correctly or understood.
You got it. Mm. You know, it's like the topic of this series. It's about emotions, and people conflate anger and behavior really, really commonly, you know, obviously because of whatever it is, violence or yelling or flipping over a table, whatever it might be that, you know, when anger gets ugly. But you'll notice all the things I named were behaviors.
Yeah.
You can't really see anger. You can see physiological change when someone gets angry sometimes. Their face might go red, they might get tense, whatever, heart rate might go up, but, you know, it's still an emotion. It's a, you know, it creates action, creates a sense of urgency. I trade my best when I'm a little bit pissed off.
Really?
If I'm very angry, I do not trade well. But if I'm a little angry, I trade great.
That sounds like a really difficult balance to try to maintain if you're trying to like get
it's
into that
state. It's not something that I shoot for.
Okay.
Like I try to piss myself off a little bit and then trade. And it's nothing like that. But, you know, I just, when I'm a little irritable, which is not that unusual.
You don't intentionally make yourself angry?
Yeah, I don't intentionally make myself angry, but I am pretty irritable. Anyone who knows me probably knows that a bit. I can be a little short at times. I have a lot of...
Salty, I think is the word I'd use.
Salt. It drives me completely insane. And this is an issue that I have to be mindful of with trading, but it drives me insane when people don't do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say you're going to do something, fucking do it. or shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it when people don't. And I just, you know, I guess because we're doing a trading podcast right now, like what comes to mind is a liaison I had with a trading organization I was working with. And like, this person was just such, it overflew into my relationship with the organization because I didn't manage the boundaries enough. But when people do that, like if you got a boss, you know, people always get mad at their boss, people get mad at their partners or whatever. And it's generally when, you know, they don't do what they say they're going to do or don't do what they're quote unquote supposed to do, like be supportive or be a disciplinarian or whatever it is that, you know, is required and people don't do it. It'll create anger normally because that's healthy. But if you have other issues like abandonment or emotional neglect or whatever, it'll really send you spiraling.
So I did kind of the same exercise as we did for shame, where I went down and actually like wrote down some like things that I feel like trigger, like what causes me to feel anger or peak anger. And actually one of the things you noted on there, it feels kind of similar to that. But for me, it's about being disrespected. Like if I feel like my time or yep. me or somebody is being disrespected in an intentional way, that gets me angry, but it also takes me a long time to get to that point. If it's somebody I know, like I had to put this clarifier in here. If it's a stranger, then I can flip it on and like feel that anger and like bathe in it. But if it's like you and like you don't do something you say you're going to do, like I think, oh, there's probably some extenuating circumstances. I don't get angry at that, you know?
Yes, that is. And that's actually why I cited a professional relationship twice
mm-hmm.
is because it is very different. If it's personal, because you have compassion, you have empathy, you care about the person, at least to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've developed a relationship over the time we've been doing podcasts and talking and stuff, and it makes sense. It might seem as idiosyncratic or like, Sean's cranky again or something right. like that versus, you know, what you meant and what you said. And that's also, again, part of anger's function. You started your example with disrespect, and that makes a lot of sense to be angry at that. Like you quote unquote, you should be, because, you know, you got to maintain self-respect, right? That's a pretty
boundaries
important part of living, of boundaries, of all that. So anger motivates the word no is best way to, simple way to put it. And a lot of people have trouble saying no. We all have trouble saying no. When someone we love wants something and we don't want to say yes to their favor, but they're like, come on, or, you know, whatever. Like it's guilt that ultimately pushes you into saying yes when you want to say no. But anger is what can help with that. And it's one of the reasons why some people are only assertive or only set limits and boundaries when they're really pissed. And then it is problematic because that behavior we talked about earlier jumps in. And we should probably translate this to trading, but you know, that's what I mean. Like, the anger will get to that point where, you know, behaviors start to become regrettable because you've lost impulse control.
Well, to tie this back into trading, then I can do that, because the other example I wrote down there was when I'm not getting the results that I expect. And I think that one does tie directly into trading. Like when I get frustrated in trading, it's because the trades aren't working out or something's not happening. I'm not getting the fills that I want, or something's not doing what I want it to do. And that's me like reacting to that almost, right? And sometimes it feels like a little 5-year-old version of me that just wants to throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah. But do you know what is the difference in the feeling? Like when you say sometimes it feels like 5-year-old, like how would you explain that if you were,
I don't know how to
had to write a paragraph about it?
There's some instances when I'm feeling anger where it's like there's different types, right? There's an anger or frustration that comes from like trying to explain something technical to somebody who doesn't understand technical things. Like that is just like bang your head against the wall frustration. There's nothing I enjoy about that. But there's other types of anger where you almost feel like you're justified in it. And it almost feels good to be angry. It almost feels like it's like you're soaking it in, you're basking in it. And I'd say it's more like that when I'm like, when I need to be worried, is when I feel like this anger is righteous and I'm going to relish it.
Right. So that's called ego syntonic.
Whoa. What is that? Okay.
Yeah.
Write this word down here.
ego syntonic means you're angry and you like it, or it means whatever and you like it. You're experiencing something inside your, you know, phenomenologically, you're experiencing something intrapsychically, you're experiencing something and you like it. So it could be, you know, being high, it could be being angry.
Right.
You know, it can be, you know, pleasures of various sorts, like, you know, ego syntonic.
Then why does it sometimes feel good to be angry though? That is, Because
I would say it's because there's a few different things, and this is going to be a different answer for people out there.
Yeah.
But broadly speaking, if it feels good to be angry for you, you probably don't have enough anger. Or you don't use anger enough to set limits and boundaries. So when you are feeling the anger, and it feels empowering.
I would agree with that.
You see that all over social media now. You see it all over politics. I mean, people, you know, the outrage porn, they call it.
Yeah.
And people just love to be pissed off.
See, that I don't understand. Like, that is,
well,
I've seen that in other people. And I think that's why it's easy for me to step away from the social media side of things, but mm-hmm. I think there's other spots where it does definitely creep in. Like flying is one, and somebody does something to annoy me on a plane, then I could do something to fix the situation sometimes, but sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I'd rather just be mad and sit and enjoy that anger.
And, you know, good. I mean, when you get into the questions of like, is there something wrong with this? Is it good, bad? Is it affecting the quality of your life? If it's not, then don't worry about it.
I think, period. Yeah, it depends on how long anything. You're hanging on to it, right?
Well, then it's affecting your quality of life, right. I would argue.
Yeah.
You know, because you can be ruining relationships, you can be alienating yourself, you can be marginalizing yourself. You know, you walk around your office and you're the angry guy.
Right.
You are marginalizing yourself. You're going to be, you're creating an out-group dynamic against yourself. And if you're mad at the market, if you're mad at the outcome of your trade, if you think, you know, X should have happened when Powell spoke, or Y should have happened when, you know, whatever non-farm payroll come out, whatever it is, when you hold on to that anger, it's destructive, like it is in life, holding on to it, because it starts tainting things. It starts coloring experience. It starts, go ahead.
So you check out the comments on any earnings release and just read through what people are saying on there. You'll see the people who are voicing their frustration. Why is it going down? These are great earnings. This should be going up. I'm like, well, it's not.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So one of the things to ameliorate anger is education, is understanding in some situations, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get mad at people, you know, you get mad at someone because, you know, they're short with you, or they're in a bad mood or something, and you get mad back, and that's quote unquote justified. There's never non-justified anger, in my opinion. You're experiencing what you experience. It's a different thing you got to work on than being unjustified. But anyways, so someone treats you poorly and you get upset. You know, they're snarky, they're passive aggressive, they're aggressive, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, F that person. And then you later find out, you know, their mother died yesterday. So mm-hmm. you have obtained new data. You've learned something. Switch it back to trading. You know, you think the market should be doing something, and that it's not because of whatever, the ER, what Powell said, whatever. You don't have enough data. You're getting angry because you're a new trader and expect things to go like they quote unquote should. And that's just ridiculous when you're a trader. You don't learn that right away, but you learn that in time, right? It does not matter. You know, stuff's going to sell, there's going to be buyer, whatever. So if I obtain more information about the market, I obtain more information through experience, whatever, I get less dysregulated, in this case, anger. So, you know, anger can be the result, and this is a more problematic side, obviously, the anger can be the result of not enough information, and then blaming, misassigning responsibility, or it can be because something's not okay with you, like you're not okay losing money, so you get pissed and you stop trading for the day. Good. That's not anger management. That's self-care. You know, you're pissed at the way you're trading, so you take a break. Good. You know, you're pissed at yourself. All right, fine. Take the break. You know, use some compassion. But, you know, anger's function is really, really essential, just like it is for life. You're walking down the street and someone grabs your wife's butt. You should get, like, that look on your face you just got.
There's a boundary there.
Right. And that anger is appropriate. And it's like, hey, that's not okay with me. And it's not okay with her. What the fuck were you doing?
Right.
Anger is good.
So, okay, so you mentioned some, like, anger is like the vehicle that our actions are sometimes based on, or that leads us to take some sort of actions, but
just
not
like any other emotion, it's
right,
just an emotion that can motivate behavior. In this case, anger has a lot of motivational properties, more than other emotions do.
The problem then is not when we use it as motivation to go do something else because we're taking ourselves out of the situation. The problem is when we get mad and we want to spike our ball into the dirt and ruin it for everybody else. But really what we're doing is just blowing our account out.
Yeah. We want to take our toys and go home.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That is like any emotion. Mm-hmm. That is when we lack the skill to regulate it. We lack the mindfulness to know what's happening in that moment. We lack the practice and behavioral mechanisms to lower the probability of what you just said happening.
Yeah, there's a few things I've done to ruin mine. Okay, so we're talking about like taking it out on the markets or taking out another examples.
Yes.
That's actually a question that I had then is like, well, maybe it's not necessarily for me. This is more for like people dealing with me, but how to recognize it in your partner and like, what are some good ways to like intervene in that situation versus like my normal instinct is when I see like somebody getting mad, like I'm just going to go ahead and go off into this room and close the door and wait till they come back.
So how far down this road should we go? Because we're sounds like couples counseling.
Oh,
how far we haven't talked. I don't think we've talked about enough trading.
Personally. Oh, fair enough. I feel like it all works. It all kind of interlays into itself. Like, I feel like they're all related.
Yeah, but people are dumb.
Yeah, they are dumb. Okay.
People are stupid, though. It needs to be spoon-fed.
Okay, fine. All right.
I thought I was going to be fine without translating every metaphor, but I usually have to translate it for people, especially on social media. I have to translate it.
Well, we could say that one, and we can look for another. I can find another question that's more related to it.
But yeah, well, there's a couple things, I mean, that I noted for me. You know, anger is a signal. We could talk about, you know, working on changing the relationship with anger if it is a problem for you. You know, like actionable stuff.
Well, like one of the things that I'd like to do.
And just anger in the trading context, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. One of the things I like to do when I recognize myself in a state of anger and I don't want to be in that state is sometimes, like if I feel like I'm wanting to bask in it, and I'll give myself a time limit, like, okay, we can enjoy it for a minute or two, but then after that, we're going to put it away and we're going to move on and we're going to do something else. Like, I don't know, how is that for an effective way of ameliorating the effects of anger?
You don't want to avoid like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that short run, but if you do that too much, what it's going to do is it's going to leave a pile of undealt with stuff that's going to create a lot of anger at some point, or resentment, or something along those lines.
Interesting. So what would be a more effective way then of trying to, I guess, increase your mindfulness of your estate?
So there's a few different ways. I mean, you know, I have the clear mindset stuff. Mm-hmm. And just to put it in that context, like first thing you gotta do is you gotta notice the signal. That would be the C of clear mind, you know, connect with the present moment and all that. You got to know when you're getting angry. Some people don't really know until it's too late. And, you know, anger is going to be different for people, everybody. But in general, you're going to feel anger more in your face, your hands, your arms.
Up the spine, sometimes I feel it.
Sometimes the jaw. You have to know what anger feels like for you. So, okay, here's the signal. And then the second part would be to label it, to call it what it is, anger. Mm-hmm. You know, and so contextually speaking, I'm doing this while trading. I may have to remind myself that, okay, it's anger. It's not that I'm a fucking loser or a failure or it's not going to work in my favor. Like whatever my brain is BSing me and telling me, I have to separate that out. Because that's the sum of the quotient. We're still dealing with the, you know, we're still making up the formula. So, you know, label the emotions. I'm feeling anger about not doing this trade right or about getting this trade wrong. And, you know, the anger has got my mind telling me that I'm never going to succeed or I'm a total failure or whatever. So first thing is get the signal. Two is label it so that it can be appropriately labeled and not spin out into all your issues and, you know, destroy the town. after it goes barreling out of control.
Yeah.
So what is the value that was contraindicated? You know, what schema did it trigger? So like, you know, I lose this trade. There's a lot of reasons to be angry about it. One is you might be a perfectionistic. You know, two, there's thousands of them, but just a couple of the common ones. Two might be that, you know, you're comparing yourself with other people in your Discord or your Twitters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that creates anger. So, you know, the, that comparison issue gets hit, it conflicts with, you know, how you define yourself, what you want out of your future. You know, you might get mad at, the fact that the market isn't doing what it should, like we were getting at earlier, or like, you know, why is so-and-so making so much money and I'm not, or, you know, why can't I get this right? Or why did I trade so good yesterday and now I'm giving it all back? Like once you've gotten into all of that, it's kind of too far. But when you can catch it coming on, you catch it as a signal, you label it, you think about where the trigger came from and then act intentionally, you know, then you have a choice. Once you know this stuff, am I going to move towards what's important to me and towards what I want, or am I going to sit in this and move away from what I want? You know, so it's largely this shining a light on, observing. And then what happens is you start to have more choices, because if you don't do any of those things I just mentioned, then you're just, you know, monkey flinging feces who's upset that, you know, someone's looking at him in their cage or whatever. They get, yeah. I don't know why they fling feces.
Why do I keep losing money when I keep revenge trading?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Man. Okay. So one of the things you described, I think, sounded like what I would describe as frustration. Like, but I classify that, I think, as different than anger. Like,
same thing.
You would push back on that?
I would say, yeah, I would say it's the same thing. It's just, it's all under the same umbrella. Anger, irritability, frustration. It's they're all flavors of anger. Yeah. They might be anger light. You know, people like rage is another one that, you know, it's obviously more extreme, but they're all types of anger.
Okay.
You don't want, because emotions are so complicated, you want to keep them, you know, there's like eight like core, well, we're covering the core emotions pretty much. And then everything kind of stems from those. So all those things that are even remotely like, that you're like, is this anger or is this, you know, whatever, like, it doesn't matter. It's all
probably both. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're frustrated, that is a type of anger, but that's better than rage most likely in terms of, you know, better, worse is a slippery slope, but in terms of workability, knowing the signal, identifying the signal, you know, not making things worse. It's a better form of anger.
For me,
you know, it's a lesser form. So
I would say that frustration is easier to recognize and easier to pull back from. But rage is like, if I've gotten to rage, I'm past the point of rational thinking, I think.
And it's just different weight. It's just different weighting, right?
Yeah.
You know, irritability is 10 pounds. Rage is 100. Right. 100 pounds is harder to manage.
Right. Irritability leads to frustration, leads to rage kind of thing too, right?
And that's, you know, backing back up to what I was saying, that's part of why you, when you do feel the anger, you got, you know, you label it and then think about like, what is going on that's pissing me off? What am I not okay with? And that kind of exploration, that kind of data will help answer the questions help illuminate the process you just highlighted of like, here's the stages for me personally. Here's what I typically go through. And then you can start to catch them because you know what you're like when you're irritable, you know what you're like when you're angry, and you accept that fact. And work with it. You know, I personally would probably like to have less anger, but there's a lot pretty baked into me and I got to work with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has shaped who I am to some degree, like anything else that we go through, and, accepting that makes you more comfortable in your skin. Like I'm okay if people think, you know, he's too irritable or whatever, like, okay, I care about shit. So I'm fucking irritable about it sometimes. Deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with me, cool. Let's not deal with each other because it's probably not going to work that well. Mm-hmm. So my point of this little diatribe is that the more you work on this stuff and get comfortable with it, you come into your own in life. And that's part of what happens as a trader, right? You come into your own, you stop checking Discord, you stop worrying about whoever's opinion, and you just do the thing yourself. And that's the same process I just described. Does that make sense?
I think so. Ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is
back for season two. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us because we probably have unused drink tickets.
Eric, why should people listen to season two?
I'm really excited for season two because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as Boston getting. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season two is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, do you have any more thoughts on anger itself as it relates to the emotion, the backgrounds of it, the benefits of it, how to manage it before we move on to doing some Q&A?
No, I don't think so.
All right, then. Well, so what I talked to you about the thing that I like to do as we prepare for these, like kind of going through some of my own personal experiences, like thinking about things that make me angry. But this is the first time I actually asked my wife to give me her thoughts on it. And so I don't know. I thought you might be kind of interested to see what she says.
Yeah.
So I gave you the two or three examples. The one I missed on there is, I'll recap it, but I'm not getting the results I expect. That makes me angry. If I feel like I'm being disrespected, strangers causes me to react quicker. The other one I didn't say yet is when I'm trying to explain something, but I'm not making progress. Frustration more than anger, but it's a state that builds. And then I put fixing computer issues. So my wife, what she had to say was that he hides his anger well, definitely not annoyance. He's not a yeller. He doesn't broadcast it, doesn't act on it in the ways that she's seen. Plumbing and computers, like working on those things, tends to trigger it. Being helped to ask with either of those or anything else that he feels they should be able to handle on their own. I thought that last one was very interesting, but I felt like it very well summed up some of the things that I experience frustration with helping people with. Like if you can just Google it, like
yeah, and expectations and people should do what they're supposed to do. That's like what I was talking about earlier.
Exactly. That's why I thought that was very interesting that we seemed to share that one.
Yeah.
But it was also really interesting that she picked up on the annoyance. And I was curious if there's a difference between annoyance and anger, or if that's just like a border, either that's the only version of anger that I feel comfortable expressing.
Yes, I would say. And annoyance is a type of anger. It's just 5 pounds versus 100.
Yeah. Annoyance leads to frustration. So I guess we're going to path
and
it
a lot
out.
Of times it's safer to express. We don't feel guilty expressing it. We don't feel like a threat expressing it. So it's easier than it is to say, like, you know what? I'm really pissed off at you right now.
It feels softer than that.
It's easier to be like, yeah, I'm a little annoyed. Yeah, exactly. It is softer.
But it's not.
Those,
though. Like, I don't think, at least when I see somebody like turn into that annoyed state and they just shut you down, like that's really difficult to deal with when you don't know what's causing it and they won't talk to you.
Right. So that's getting into behaviors again. So if anger makes you put that would be freeze. That'd be surrendering, fight, freeze. You know, if you surrender to anger and you just shut down, you know, that is one of the more problematic ones because nothing is going to get resolved. And obviously, you know, we're talking interpersonal, so it's a big deal. But trading wise, it wouldn't be any different than managing anger, like I mentioned earlier.
But it's interesting that it sounds like the annoyance stage is like your peak best trading time. Like if you can kind of maintain that, I'm a little bit annoyed, but I'm not making bad decisions. But
I would put it in the 5 to 15 pound range. Because for me, when I'm angry, I'm extremely focused, and a lot of people are very focused when they're angry.
Why do you think that is?
Threat. We're wired that way. If we're really angry, a lot of times it's because something is threatening us, so our concentration is up. You know, we're in that moment more. There's a lot of utility to anger. That's why a little bit of anger, you know, for a guy like me who's a bit of a space cadet or a little, you know, forgetful, anger gets rid of that. You know, it really tightens it up. It's probably like taking a little bit of Adderall or something.
Gotcha. Huh. Is that your typical response to things that you would normally like scare other people? Like instead of fear, do you react angry instead?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if that's a big pattern. Fear and anger for me, I don't feel like they've got a lot of overlap. I mean, if someone scares me, I might be upset about it, but it's because they violated my boundaries and that makes me angry. And that's what anger is for, like we were talking about. But I don't think those two get too convoluted for me.
Didn't mean to digress us too much off of the thing.
Interesting question.
Okay, well, let's see then. We've answered a bunch of these questions already. So Cleo has asked about when can anger serve us in trading, which I think you kind of mentioned about the focus on that. It kind of gives you that clarity maybe of how to act if you tune it. One of the things you mentioned actually was not having information that can lead to the anger. And I think that resonates with me pretty well. Like, because one of my exercises or the things that I like to do to kind of take myself out of that state or bring myself down, like especially after taking a loss and I don't want to revenge enter, is I'll say out loud, I just paid for new information. What did that just give me? So I don't know if maybe that's the kind of like leaning into that idea that, hey, if I'm getting frustrated because I don't have information, well, I just bought some. Let's see how we can use that.
What you just expressed is you accept when it happens. So you change how it works.
Yes.
You're accepting it. That's exactly what you're doing. You know, acceptance opens up doors, doesn't close them.
Right. Man, I don't think we spend enough time on acceptance.
And the acceptance of anger is, you know, we could do is the acceptance of anger is what changes it. I mean, you know, me being okay with being angry has allowed me to be me. It's allowed me to trade better. It's allowed me to, you know, to maintain my values and morals and boundaries and what I think is okay and what isn't, because I don't take shit. And when people don't do what they're supposed to do, I say it. And I don't care about making people uncomfortable with my anger either.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have done that when I was 30 or 35 even. But now, like, why not? It's not going to kill anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. I might hurt their feelings, might get hurt a little bit, but that's just temporary. It's no big deal. Everyone's feelings get hurt.
Right.
So.
Are you a yeller?
No, definitely not a yeller. One of the reasons I know that is because someone I used to live with, I don't remember exactly anymore, but the one time I like yelled, she actually stopped and was like, I've never heard you yell before. And like put the whole argument aside and she was like, holy shit, I've never heard you yell. So apparently not.
You and I are similar in that regards then.
Yeah, isn't my style. But ask me the question again, because part of it, I want to get back to Cleo, because part of it answers Cleo's question.
Well, I mean, her specific question was how to use anger to serve you in trading. And actually, I had another question from somebody else that is Vague Macaroon had the same question, but not trading.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Vague Macaroon's question was how you turn anger into something productive, which I think is kind of a similar thing. Just Cleo's is more specific to trading.
Yeah. So for Cleo, using anger to your advantage is one is a certain amount of it, a small amount of it is going to focus you. And remember what I was saying earlier, it gathers your resources. It makes you, it motivates behavior. So one of the reasons people get angry about trading is because they trade like shit. And one of the common reasons for trading like shit is not knowing enough about trading. So you can use that anger to motivate education, taking in more data. You can use the anger for focus and just know that, you know, anger isn't all bad. I don't need to feel not angry all the time. And then in general, to Vague Macaroon's answer more generally, boundaries and limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we let ourselves get treated poorly by humans, by the market, by furus, by whoever, because we don't utilize the anger that stuff creates properly.
Mm.
And if we can know what anger's for, and we can understand why we feel anger, where we feel anger, all that stuff, then when we get angry, because, you know, usually it's interpersonal, we can say what we need to say to the person in a calm way. It doesn't have to be screaming back. It can be, but expressing certain things is usually creates a lot of guilt or a lot of discomfort, and anger can motivate us through that.
Mm-hmm.
I can say what I got to say, even though it's going to, you know, be uncomfortable, maybe hurt their feelings, but I'm sick of having my feelings hurt. I'm sick of being hurt. I'm sick of whatever happening. So it's time to make it stop, even if it, you know, creates distress for a little while.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty well said there.
Yeah. Anger is, you know, it's just a gift. And you know, if you didn't get angry, you would just be a total doormat. You know, life would be walking all over you, and so would everybody else without anger.
I think it's interesting. Like, one of the things that I think has been very eye-opening for me throughout this whole conversation is the difference between the emotion anger and the actions that we take in anger.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing that gets convoluted a lot. Anger gets confused, I think, with the actions that...
1,000%.
Right? Yeah.
Huge issue. Huge issue.
So
always
my wife,
get mixed in.
My wife, she mentions that she doesn't think that I ever get angry, but it's not that I don't get angry. It's that I think I have a really good job. I do a really good job of not acting on it in ways that are destructive.
Yes. So as your wife edits this right now, hello, Laura.
Leave the good parts in, hon.
We could see some passive aggressive editing tonight.
I know, right?
So what she is convoluting them or whatever, confabulating them, you know, the behaviors.
Yeah. That's the right way to say that word.
Microphone.
Conflagrating.
Yes. Confabulating. But the result of a lot of self-awareness is that things slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a fair amount of time between anger and the behaviors that she's talking about that most of us mistake. That time might be 1 second, it might be 10 minutes, it might be 10 hours, it could be 10 years. Things simmer, things brew. And, you know, the more we know how to pay attention, the more we can understand what's going on inside of our skin, we can slow that process down, and so that those behaviors don't come up if we don't want them to. And also, so that we can understand other people and actually start to look for other signs of anger, because it is helpful to know when your partner's angry. And, you know, it might be that their face is red. It might be that their jaw is clenched. It doesn't have to be, you know, behavior outside of their skin. And
it's not always you that caused it. I think that's the other thing I got to remember. She's not always mad at me.
Yes. People do assume when others are angry that it's, because of them. And for listeners out there, you know, we're hopping back and forth between interpersonal stuff and trading stuff and all that. Remember, all this interpersonal stuff we're talking about, you're probably a screen trader, retail trader, home trader. If you're listening to this, you're bringing it to the trades. So pay attention. Don't brush this off, because it's not all market contextualized for the market. If you don't think your mad wife is at you at the trade station when you go to trade the next morning, you're a fucking uninsightful. You're not examining your life because she's right there because she's in your fucking head, and it is affecting things. And same for anything else. And until you can work with that, it's going to be tough to succeed long term.
You know, my old philosophy with this whole thing has been, because I'll keep trying to learn how to trade as long as it keeps making me a better person. And that's kind of what this work is. Like, this work is making me a better person, not a better trader.
That should be tattooed on you. I mean, that's a great quote. Hmm. That's a really great way to put it.
Thank
you. I'm fucking stealing that.
No, go ahead, man. I'll make a short for you. Put it on your channel.
you should work you saying that into a short. That was very good.
Let's see. I have some. Well, this. Do you want an internet question, or do you want a funny notice or something that somebody noticed about rage trading? Just a comment that I got.
Both.
All right. Let's see. JM made the comment that rage trading is the best trading. I think that was that enjoyment of rage. And then he said JMac knows. And then JMac, there's no question involved with this, but he says that the if the fuck it trade works, it's usually because it's your last bullet in the actual spot you should have waited for in the first place. I thought that was actually kind of interesting, the fuck it trade, though. The idea of that, that's basically the peak of frustration building, right?
Without asking him, yeah. I mean, I like that. And I think the thing about the fuck it trade is that how he worded it, if the fuck a trade works, yada, yada, yada. If the fuck a trade works, it's confirmation bias. So don't worry.
What I said is it works is because if you had more capital, you'd have taken another trade. So
exactly.
It's just the last trade. It's either your last bullet or.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that is not a long-term.
Right.
Healthy trading thing. But I get it. Trading mad, being mad. Like you said, it can be enjoyable. You just got to, that's why you got to work on your relationship with it. Understand why you're mad. Understand what it's doing. You can be mad and,
it's still rational.
Do what you got to do. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a good question. Then it's something maybe we can wrap up with. And we've talked about like some of the interventions in dealing with anger. But what about like when you're getting into like the really stronger, intenser emotions? Are the interventions still the same, or do you need to do something more drastic if you find yourself like redding out and ready to go break something?
Yes. I mean, you know, so everything we've been talking about, I've been using the weight analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, once it starts getting past, 25, 30, 40, 50 pounds, like hopefully you're paying attention to the rise because you're going to be able to do something to prevent that. But I'm going to give you some interventions, but they're very difficult.
No,
because,
yeah.
You know, once you're at that level, you're pretty much, your sympathetic nervous system is pretty much online, which is fight, flight, or freeze. And it's very difficult to catch if you're just raging. You're most likely will switch into behavior, and it'll be some, behavior that's trying to outlet the anger, but, causes problems. So for when the anger is really strong and all that, it comes back to grounding.
Mm-hmm.
I know in other episodes we've talked about grounding, and grounding is a big part of my intraday trading plan, trading psychology plan model, the performance pivot protocol. And, you've got to be doing that because when anger is that strong, your feel score is going to be firmly in the negative. It's certainly going to be past -3.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's when you don't trade and you do grounding. Like, if you aren't paying attention ahead of time, there's not a ton I can do for you because you're just wandering through life unexamined.
This sounds like where the timer's really coming to play. Like, you need
that's why I've got the intermittent reinforcements built in. Yeah, you have to have that going on. You can't just rely on, you're some monk. It's always going to be so
right,
self-aware.
Yeah.
that was reminders of saved my career. They saved my ass, because sometimes they come along at good times, but they always come along and they always, force you to examine if you actually do the steps. And that's ultimately the greatest protection. But if it is extreme, it's going to be grounding. It's going to be tactical breathing. It's going to be you know, body movements. It's going to be making saliva in your mouth on purpose. It's going to be, you know, all those techniques for any intense emotion. They're all the same. Once an emotion is super intense, they're kind of the intervention is almost always the same. And it's getting your parasympathetic nervous system back online and stopping your sympathetic nervous system from running the show.
Yeah.
Because whether it's rage, whether it's anxiety, whether it's sadness, when they get that extreme, it's all the same intervention, basically.
I love it, man. That's a good way to end this, I think. Does anybody else have any other questions in the chat? Is there anything I'm missing here?
Michael T is still in the house. If you're there, Michael, thanks for listening.
I think we've hit everything so far. So yeah, I think that's probably gonna do it. Unless you got any other thoughts or things you want to leave us with on anger.
I guess for that last question, I guess I would say avoidance is always going to create problems with anger. Ultimately, if you stop avoiding and you start paying attention, you'll have less problems with anger. Anger really isn't the problem, avoidance is. And avoiding whatever it is that is, you know, avoiding the thing that you don't want to deal with is always going to result in anger. So
I got to say, though, if we continue to mention things like grounding, the good of the emotions, like there's probably a reason that these things are being referenced so many times, and maybe that's something you should spend some time learning about.
Indeed.
Just going to say that. I'll leave that out there. You guys do with that what you will. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for tonight's episode. And if you are pissed that it's over, get some help. Visit soundperformancepsychology.com. You can book a free consultation. Sean would love to hear about all your problems, I'm sure. Everybody else out there, please like, share, and subscribe to all the things that we've got here. And we'll be back soon with a new episode to start this cycle all over again.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.